Welcome to K-Drama School. I'm your host, Grace Jung. Great to be here. Hello. I am very moved by some of the supportive emails and comments that you all shared with me. Thank you so much. Yeah, it is a good thing. It's a good thing to be employed, have a job lined up, be able to support myself and survive and live in society. It's all a good thing. You know, what's interesting is as I've been in a whirlwind the last 18 days, just like panicking and freaking out, but also, you know, being excited and preparing and moving. Yeah, packing and moving and throwing things away and saying goodbye to friends and all of this. You know, throughout all of it, what I've realized is that, like, I'm really just not going to miss LA. It seems like I'm really done with this place. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'll come back and, like, move to Highland Park or some shit. Who knows? I mean, that could also happen. But, like, for the time being, I'm really fucking done with this place. Like, in every which way, I'm so done. And I cannot wait to leave. Folks, I am going to discuss a show today called The 8 Show, which is a new Netflix K-drama. I guess it just hit, like, it showed up like 2 days ago. Yeah, it's been on Netflix like for the last 2-3 days. And I was able to binge it in one afternoon. Yeah. This is a good show in that, you know, eight episodes, all right, nice and light. Each episode is under an hour, which is great. And it is a genre. It's a genre show. This, I would say, is like the gamification genre. It's like the, this is like a gamification genre. It's like similar to Squid Game. One of our listeners, Ada, recommended this show to me. And I was like, oh, like this was not on my radar. So I tuned in because I'm a big fan of Ryu Jun-yeo. And I really love Chun-Ui. So I watched it. And it's a decent show. It's a decent show. But there is one area or one aspect that I want to talk about specifically. And that is the clown on this show. The clown is played by actor Bae Sung-woo, who you have seen on the show Live. Yeah, with Lee Kang-soo. Yeah, and he was amazing in that show Live, but he usually plays like a pervert. Like, he always plays like a pervert or a creep. Like, that's his usual MO. And in this one, he's playing a limp clown who is trying to win money so that he could save his daughter, who is dying. The interesting thing about this clown is that he has an agenda, all right? And this is the clown theory that I want to discuss, because this is a theory that I'm currently developing. I mean, it's a theory that exists. I'm just developing it and working on my academic book. So, you know, this is where I'm playing around, you see? The clown, Bae Sung-woo's clown, who is number one, he's on the first floor, which is the bottom floor, bottom rung. He gets paid the least compared to the rest. And he is also a clown by occupation, which is a very, very unstable job. It is, you're basically living in poverty, you're living in squalor. And if you look at the history of the Kwangdae, which is a clown in Korean, the Kwangdae has been around since like the Goryeo dynasty in Korea. These clowns were, you know, street performers, street entertainers. They were also of the lowest caste, and they entertained the public. And if they caught the eyes of a king, then they would be invited into the palace and work as a court jester or a court kwangdae. But if you guys have seen that film by Lee Junhee called The King and the Clown, you will see that these jesters or these clowns, these kwangdae, they eat whatever they make on that day. Yeah, so they put on a show, the crowd throws them money, they collect the money, and then they eat based on however much money they make that day. So that's how they used to role. And this Kwangdae today, the one that's played by Bae Seung-woo, is no different. He is part of a circus troupe, and you know, his daughter is dying and he's trying to kill himself, right? There's like the sequence where he's trying to get run over by a car so that he could give his life insurance money to save his daughter. And then that's when he gets picked up in this limousine and then he's like put on this show. What I found fascinating is that when the players realized that content is what was going to give them more time, which will equal more money, this clown just like knew exactly what to do. He was like totally prepared for it. He was prepared his whole life for this moment, and he kills, right? He does a great job. He makes a lot of money, but who outdoes him? The whore, right? Who is also a performance artist, like a woman's body. It is like, it's like the age old, time old, classic, you know, objectified thing, I guess, because it's objectified, but like the woman's body is used for monetary purposes and it outdoes the clown, right? Like everybody thought the clown made the most money, but no, turns out after Chun Wei's character goes and has sex with that guy on camera, yeah, she gets 69 hours, which is hilarious, right? When I was doing some research on the Korean clown, one of the things that, I don't know, like these guys who wrote it, they sounded very nationalist, if I'm being honest with you. But it's like, there's this article written by three Korean scholars. One is Hee Chul Shim, Seora Kim, and Byungmin Lee. They are all at Korean universities. One is at Dongha Institute of Media and Art. The other is at Konguk University. The other is also at Konguk University. And they do like performance art and media studies kinds of things. And they wrote an article about K-pop strategy seen from the viewpoint of cultural hybridity. And it is all about the tradition of the Kwangdae, or the tradition of the clown, and how those traditions are still visible to this day in the K-pop realm. Not the most exciting article, but it is historicizing the Kwangdae tradition in a very interesting way. One of the ways that they do it, though, is like, I thought it was just kind of funny. And this is where like the Korean nationalism is like so fucking palpable and visible, and it just irritates me because it's just like, what are you doing? Like, this is so fucking obvious, like, that you're doing this. And Korean scholars need to fucking snap the fuck out, all right? Anyway, here they are. They're saying like, the Korean Kwangdae is superior to the Western notions of a clown because the Korean Kwangdae has to be very skilled at another thing. And I was like, this is interesting, because a clown, for instance, right? Like a circus clown that you see, they also have to be good at something. Like, they have to know how to juggle. They have to know how to balance, you know, they have to know how to like ride a unicycle. Like, they have their own tricks. They have to be able to put a head inside a lion's mouth. Like, they have their own bags of tricks. And that also requires mentorship and, you know, rehearsing and performing. But here they are, like, in this article, they're saying, like, the Korean Kwangdae has this long tradition of doing this. Like, they train really hard. They have a mentor and da-da-da-da-da. And then they have to have this skill. And what are these skills? They have things like samulnori, or they have things like tightrope walking. They have things like doing a skit or singing pansori. They have all these other skills, right? And I'm like, it's no different from a fucking circus clown. They do the exact same thing. Don't say that this clown is more superior or more disciplined than that other clown. They are all of the same lot. Now, the way that this article is sort of like discussing Korean clowns, though, the Kwangdae, which I would say has some differentiation from the present day clown from the Western perspective, is this. The present day Western clown, especially in Los Angeles, these clowns that I'm part of, that we're all training with and hanging out with, we come up with stuff in the moment. Like, in the moment, whatever games arise, like, that's the performance. That's sort of the magic of the clown act, because it's like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're just going to find out together. And so that improvisational portion is very big. In the Kwangdae clown, however, a lot of them are premeditated. They have like certain lines, you know, like a skit performance, they have certain lines and punchlines, okay? Like these are all premeditated. The tightrope walking act, like that's also premeditated. They practice on the tightrope a lot and they bounce up and down. Like it's all very premeditated. So I guess the premeditated aspect makes it slightly different. However, the Kwangdae also does have in the moment games that arise. Why? Because whether you're a Kwangdae or a Western clown, ultimately the relationship between the clown and the audience is always going to be the same. The clown will always acknowledge the audience. The clown will not exist without an audience. They need that relationship, audience to clown relationship. There's a vulnerability, there's a callback, there's an echoing back, there's a reaction, there's laughing, there's clapping, there's celebratory, you know, applause, whatever. That is always there. And with the Kwangdae, they also had that. Wherever the troupe would arrive at, like the crowd would just encircle them and then a performance would take place. So that's how the theater starts happening. The circle, people circle around, they gather around, right? So that becomes the theater instantly. And that is in the moment magic happening. So these are some of the comparisons that I'm making. Now, why do I want to talk about the clown on the 8th show? Well, this clown, what does he want? His objective is to make $1 million so that he can switch rooms, because that's what he found out. The moment he arrived there, he asked, like, if I want to switch rooms, like, how much would it cost? And they said $1 million. So that's what he tells all of the other players. He says, I want to be able to make $1 million as long as I'm here. That is my goal. And then he reaches that goal. He reaches it. And then what happens? It costs him $1 million, which is his whole bank account, to get the instructions on how to buy the other floors. It's going to cost him an additional, like, million plus, which he doesn't have. And it took him 2 months to gather all that money. And he's gone through hell and back in order to make the money. And then you see everybody despairing. The clown is despairing. Everybody in the room is despairing. And I'm just like, but that's kind of funny. Like, don't you see? The clown has been punked. That's what makes him a clown. If this fucking clown got what he wanted, he wouldn't be a clown anymore. The fact that he flopped, all right? The fact that he did not reach his goal, that's what makes him a clown. That is clown theory. That is the roots, the basis of clown, failure, the flop. I was talking to a clown friend of mine, Kevin Chu, who was also a guest on this podcast, but this is how he differentiated it. He said, the difference between a flop and bombing on stage is this. When you're bombing, like, you're doing it unintentionally. You're unintentionally failing. But if you flop, then you're intentionally failing, which is the clown's job. The clown's duty is to fail. Now, in the case with this clown, number one on the show, I feel like as an audience, we know he's flopping. I know he's flopping. Like, he's a clown. Of course, he's destined to fail. right? He's destined to fail. But what is his goal? His goal is to get out, be free, have money, right? There's this really poignant and beautiful scene when he ties everybody up, and then, because he has a fucking mental breakdown, he ties everybody up and then he tightrope walks high up there, and then he starts bouncing up and down. And that's a very traditional Korean thing to do, like the tightrope walking and then you bouncing up and down on the rope. That is definitely a skill that you develop as a Korean performer. So he's doing this, bouncing up and down, up and down, and then he grabs the very, very high ceiling camera. He grabs that and then it crashes and falls, and then he starts burning to death. But he reaches the very, very top. He reaches the very peak of that space, right? And then as he's dying, he says, I just wanted to get really high up. Yeah. So he was metaphorically exercising that tightrope jumping thing in order to feel that highness, to feel what it feels like to be that up high. And then he reaches the ultimate freedom, which is via death, right? Presuming that a soul reaches up into the heavens, like that he's reached the pinnacle, basically, right? So the clown has reached the pinnacle in that sense, but you know, it was via death, another kind of flopping or another kind of failure in the sense that you're no longer living. But I just thought it was really interesting to use this clown figure. And then even the mise-en-scene of the show, right? In the opening, you have these opening credits and you got that like square, the square pixels, like it's, you know, the ratio. It's like you got that square, right? A square frame. It's not a rectangular frame, it's a square frame. And you have these like cards, these title cards that's narrating what's happening on the show. And that's something you've seen in like silent era classical Hollywood films. And in those films, they were usually featuring clowns like Charlie Chaplin, like Buster Keaton, right? And that's when you would see these little signposts. So the clown theory, the clown philosophy is very much integral to this show. And we know this because at the very, very end, right? You see the face of the clown, like this is after his funeral. You see the face of the clown and he basically says, don't give up, keep striving. And that is really the clown's message. The clown's message is, even though you're doomed for failure, doomed for death, doomed for poverty or brokenness or whatever, never give up. That is the clown's message. And so I thought that was really sweet in some respects. I thought the show was good. Is it as good as Squid Game? That is questionable. That is also just an opinion. So does it even matter? Do we even need to go into that? I guess not. So that's the show that I wanted to talk about today. The H Show. Very interesting. Interesting stuff. Chun-Woo is crazy. I love her. What a batshit crazy actress. Fucking adore her. If you guys have any other shows you want to recommend me, please send them my way. If you see any clowns in K-dramas, reach out to me. Let me know. I'm very interested in that at the moment. And I am leaving LA in like 11 days. Oh my gosh. 11 days. But it's happening. So brace yourselves, I guess. See y'all next week.